Good morning, Columbus, Ohio, and Local 304. This is Ken Hodge, Branch President, Columbus, Ohio, with an informative podcast for you this morning. And I'm going to start the podcast off with Local 304 does a lot of things that are questionable. And when I say questionable, contrary to our Constitution. And I find myself in the middle of that. In fact, on Monday, I will be going to Cincinnati to address a local trial board on some charges that were filed against me by the Tour 1 Chief Steward in my branch, Columbus, Ohio. Now, I'm going to take my time as I try to explain my side of this issue. But it's probably going to take a little longer than my normal podcast, but I ask that you please listen. And when I say please listen, there is nothing that you're going to be able to do to change the outcome of what's about to take place. But I want to make sure I keep you informed on the practices that take place in your local. And most of these practices take place because they don't expect you to read, follow along, and correct them when they are not contractually or constitutionally correct. Here's the story. The short version, because the one-hour version, uncensored, will be downloaded on iTunes later in the week. But again, I started 180 Degree Campaign as a platform to let mail handlers be informed that they have a voice, and that voice can be heard much louder than just your office or where you work. And through the podcast, we've been successful with reaching mail handlers all over the United States. Now, the story starts, as everyone who listens to Postal Podcast, my version on Hodge to Hodge Blog Talk Radio, will know that my local president and I don't even begin to start seeing eye to eye on anything. This disagreement has been going on probably about 3 years. Actually, it started when I was an alternate steward. Anyway, he issued me a letter of suspension based on there were some infractions that he stated, never proved, never documented to me. He stated that these infractions were going on. One of the most damaging was a lot of late grievances. Again, so I was taken out of office. I wasn't taken out of office. My duties with respect to grievances and meetings were taken away from me. And this has been over 2 years ago. Now, just on that fact alone, how many of you would want to follow any leader where there was an error made by one of your officers and you made no attempt to investigate the error, you made no attempt to correct, rehabilitate, or retrain on the error, you made no attempt to even produce the errors to the individual that you're taking a negative action on? And inside of the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, that egregious disrespect to my position and the perversion of the elected position with respect to members in Columbus, Ohio, that disrespectful act is still in play. So the Tour 1 Chief Steward files charges against me for violating my suspension, charging me with holding a Step 3 grievance. And all of this was because he failed to represent properly a mail handler who was fired. The mail handler was on the street for about 3 to 4 months. Now, the mail handler contacted me, and through the EEO process, again, I say the EEO process, I was able to restore that man back to work. I was able to recover 50% of lost wages. I was also able to have his discipline file cleaned. They made a provision that since he was out of work during open period time, provisions were made for him to be allowed to enroll if he decided to or change a health care plan. This is what I did through the EEO process for a member. Now, let me tell you something. The local had step one, step two, and he was out of work 3 to 4 months. Ken Hodge had about a week, and then the following week, he was back to work. Yes, that's pretty quick. His payment was made to him the next pay period, extremely quick. So when the Tour 1 Chief Steward gets in his feelings and says, I made these statements on a podcast, yes, I made those statements. It bothered me the manner that they took care of that member. The member was not taken care of in the union process. Had I been the branch president active in my role, this would have never happened. Instead of the 12-1 Chief Steward saying, thank you, instead, he wants to file charges against me because I did what he could not get done, and I did it faster and better. So, again, that's just one set of charges. Now, I've got two additional set of charges coming at me from the Dayton, Ohio. The Dayton, Ohio branch president and one member in Dayton, Ohio have additional charges. Now, let me tell you about those charges because it's very important. Doesn't matter what the charges are, but here's the situation. They mailed me a copy of the charges as per Article 10. I never received them. It was returned back to the union office. Well, then they're supposed to make another attempt at trying to contact me. And remember, I am still a union president. You can kind of call me on the telephone and ask me, is there a problem with your mail address? But for whatever reason, I never got the 3849 notice of attempted delivery. I never got it, so the article was returned back to the union. Instead of trying to contact me, the trial board in our union went ahead and had a trial. Now, mind you, I know nothing of this. They had a trial. They had a decision made at the trial. And all the while, I am not aware that there are even charges pending against me from Dayton, Ohio. So, again, and I need you to remember that. The trial board acted in such a quick manner because, again, they are supporting their local president in his attempt to get me kicked off the ballot and removed from my office. I have to respond to national. Again, our Constitution is very clear on how this is supposed to happen. And for those of you who are not really aware, short version, charges are filed. Recording secretary contacts the individual charge, sends them a copy, lets them give them a chance to respond. Once they respond, the trial board meets to determine if the charges are frivolous, they throw them out. If the charges have merit, they contact an individual and say, the charges have merit, we're going to have a trial. They set a trial date. Here we go. Now, that happened in this case, but in the Dayton, Ohio case, that never happened. So they skipped that whole process. I had to contact National. Cases being sent back to the trial board for them to do it the right way. Again, all they know is they want to support their local president getting me removed from office. So sometimes they think they can cut corners, again, hoping members, officers don't really read and understand our Constitution. Okay, so Monday I'm answering trial board for Tour 1 Chief Steward trial, charges. I just explained to you another situation where Dayton, Ohio charged me. I never received the charges. But the trial board made the decision anyway. So I want you to keep that in mind because I'm building up to the crescendo. Now, on Monday's trial board, I am of the opinion that because the local trial board already tried to kick me out of office without even notifying me of the charges, there is nothing in my mind that tells me that they're going to get me anything close to a fair trial. Again, this is in my mind. And the manner in which I just explained this to you, please hit me up on Facebook and let me know what you think. But so part of our Constitution says, if you name a party as part of your charges, they can't sit on the board. Now, let me also say, I have pending charges on the local trial board currently. And now they're going to sit in judgment of me. Does anybody out there who hear my voice really think that's a formula set up for fairness? I mean, let's be for real. People are people. And if I was able to demonstrate that their haste in order to bring punishment to me had to be overturned by authority greater than them, do you really think that they're going to accept that and just say, okay, let's just look at this for the merits? I don't think so. And I made that known on a national level. This is where my heartache really came in. When I received the decision on the national level, it has been decided that there is no conflict and that the local 304 trial board will sit in judgment of me. Yeah, that was kind of difficult to swallow. Based on the current events, the sequence of events, I'm sorry, that I just described, that I'm currently involved with the local trial board, when I received that decision from the national level, a very, very bright light went off. And it wasn't a light leading me to safety either. Now, again, I really thought that based on what I just explained to my podcast audience, that the national level would clearly see that there's an issue, there's a conflict, and moreover to that, they were named in my response to them. Now, this might just be a singular occurrence where bad decisions are just being made. But again, we won't know that unless we hear that. You know, folks in Tennessee, mail handlers in Tennessee, mail handlers in Miami, mail handlers in other parts of the United States, they don't get to hear what goes on in a lot of these branches. I'm trying to change that. And again, hopefully we can all learn something from it. But I'm preparing my case to present to to the trial board. But again, it won't, because I fully understand the position that the trial board is, I understand their position, and their position is, if we had a trial without even notifying this gentleman, then we're going to get the same results now that he's been notified. That's what I think. That's what I believe in my heart. So I'm pretty sure I'm not going to get a fair trial, but I will keep you apprised on how the trial goes in the outcome. So I will reluctantly, very reluctantly, appear before the local trial board, 304 National Postal Mail Handlers Union, local trial board on Monday, and present my case in a very professional manner. Again, I hope that someone in there understands that maybe instead of having Branch President Hodge up on charges, we should say thank you for bringing a mail handler back to work. I'm just saying maybe that'll happen. That brings me to the end when we talk about the resolve. What the charging party would like to see done as a penalty to me. And I got to reiterate one thing. Remember, there was a mail handler out of work for 4 months who got his job back. That's first and foremost. We got another dues-paying member back to work paying dues. But the resolve requested by the charging party is that I be impeached from office and I not be allowed to hold a union office for 10 years. Did you hear what I said? Because I brought a dues-paying member back to work and put him back on the rolls so he can pay those dues, I should be penalized and kicked out of the union to the point where all I can do is pay dues. I have no voice. I can't even attempt to hold office. Come on, folks, see through this. I only say see through this because this is just an attempt in line with other attempts, I do believe, centrally located in our local union headquarters to ensure that Ken Hodge is not allowed to return to his office. And more importantly, Ken Hodge is not allowed to be on the ballot. Let me say to all those folks who go through all the trouble to try to get me barred from office, whatever happened to the simple process of if you don't like a candidate, you don't vote for him? I mean, that would speak for itself, wouldn't it? But there's an extra effort being made by the current local headquarters staff, executive council, executive board, and local trial board to ensure that I'm not even given the opportunity to challenge for the position. Now, I wonder why that is. Listen, I've taken up probably more of your time than than I should have. But I say this to you, hey, folks, that follow 180 degrees or that just follow fairness. Right now, this isn't even about supporting Kenny Hodge for anything. This is just about letting our union know that there is a process that you must follow. And if you're not going to follow the process, then how can we expect strong leadership from you if you're going to alter that process? But I'm going to go to the I will appear on Monday and I will be very professional. But, you know, here's my last concern. I have no concern or no issues or reservations as to can I produce documentation to convince the board that this is a frivolous act. That's not my issue. My issue is can I convince them to go against their local president and make a decision on what's right and not what their local president want to hear. That's my issue. So follow along on the Ken Hodge Postal Podcast, and regardless of how it turns out, I will keep the podcast audience aware as I go through the process. And again, it gives you an opportunity, if you're interested in becoming a steward or other positions inside the local, it gives you an opportunity to brush up on Article 10 so that you have a working knowledge, not a knowledge based on what someone else told you, a knowledge based on you reading the Constitution and you following the case along.
180 degrees.
New direction.